Prime Minister Scott Morrison last week pushed for all states and territories to reopen schools amid the COVID-19 crisis, citing a health study as the basis of the push. The study from the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance has come under scrutiny for its limited scope and the fact that it is yet to be peer-reviewed. New South Wales Liberal Premier Gladys Berejiklian followed suit, announcing a staggered attendance system to get students back to school by May 11. Victorian Labor Premier Daniel Andrews has rejected the Liberal Party plea to get kids back to school, instead announcing today a major coronavirus testing blitz to take place before making any reductions in restriction measures. With some states going back to school before others, will students in certain states have an advantage come exam time? The Wire spoke with some school teachers around the country about the challenges of online learning.
One of them, I think, is the administration aspect of it. Obviously, currently, if we were back in school, teachers would be reporting on various assessments, both formative and summative. But now we're having to check progress digitally for every single lesson. And it's actually impossible to do for every single kid. Whereas if you're in the classroom in person, you can, you know, do the eye check, do the test, what have you got, quickly read that and count that in your head and provide some teacher judgment on whether you think your child has done the required work. Whereas in this setting, you have to physically download every file that a child will choose to submit, review it, go to the next document, wait for it to load, etc. So it's a lot more difficult to ascertain whether kids are doing the work that you think the standard is too, just because of all the added administration aspects of it all. And the final, one of the most important facets that I think suffers in the online learning is the scope for feedback. I think teachers are very reliant on the fact that they can walk into a room and provide verbal, accurate, specific feedback that the child can then hold on to what was said, and then take that and improve their own knowledge. Now, in the online setting, that is much more harder to administer, because these conversations, one-on-one conversations you might have with a specific child, aren't as prevalent or are barely prevalent at all. So I think that's another difficulty that really suffers, is how do I give specific feedback to each child? And I think that one of the things that people are doing is they're starting to give whole class feedback, which is adequate, but the individual feedback, the informal individual feedback, is, I think, something that is a big difficulty and suffers because of it.
Do you think like some students will fall behind and you'll see like a drop in results?
Yes and no. I don't think people will fall behind, because they will still have access to everything, and in a way they actually might be able to follow it a bit easier, rather than if the teacher's going on a little bit too fast. Like they can't tell us to go back, or sometimes they're too nervous to ask a question about it. So in a way, it actually might be a little bit better for some students who struggle to keep up, so they can actually go back and like look back at what they've learned. But yes, there are some kids who aren't self-sufficient and who really need that one-to-one feedback from the teacher in person sometimes, which could affect their learning and their results. But we as teachers are doing everything we can to differentiate that for those students, whether that be they get different slides, or whether that mean they get sent a different video that would be easier for them to understand. So it's not just one class gets the same slides or the same information. It's all differentiated. It's all different for different types of students and how they learn.